Today's scripture reading will be Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, and I'll be reading out of the New King James. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Who could use a feel-good story this morning? Anybody? You don't have to come forward if you raise your hand. It's all right. You can move your arm. Anybody? Well, I'm going to ask again. Anybody want a feel-good story this morning? I'm in trouble if you don't. Or maybe you already have some good stories. You know, that's all right. But you know, one of the things when you don't preach very much, the one thing you always get asked, what are you going to preach on? I just say Jesus. The Bible. You know, but when I'll tell you what, I could end right here because I'll tell you a feel-good story for me. And now I know, Randy, I know you feel this way. We've talked about it. We've got some men that coming up that's going to preach and teach, and men have wrote articles. Men are getting involved here. That's the best feel-good. I could stop right here. We've got men that's going to do the invitation. We got men that are willing to preach. We've got men that are stepping up and doing what God would want them to do. That's as good a feel-good story. I could literally stop right there and we could amen and go home. But I'm not. You know, anytime I get ready to do something, I'm not a man of a lot of words. So I always bring this verse up for myself. Because, you know, I think sometimes we have a tendency, we think we're going to preach, teach, do the Lord's Supper, or whatever it is, that we have got to figure it all out. We've got to write a new story. We've got it. I call it a Rembrandt. You know, Rembrandt's one of the most famous paintings there ever was, and that's a pretty high bar to achieve, isn't it? But for us that don't preach very much, all we have to do is just listen. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. All we got to do is just preach Jesus. He's did all the work. It's more powerful than anything I could ever say this morning. So I don't have any new words for you, but hopefully I'm going to say a few words this morning that may motivate you. I hope so. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I could use a feel-good story this morning. You know, we just inundated with bad news. It just, surely, I think there's a song Ann Murray used to sing, got to be some good news today, right? Well, I want to look for just a few seconds before we jump into the Bible. And everything I say this morning, and this is pre-getting into the Bible, just to get a story. I want to look at some whys, and I want to know what makes us connect to feel-good stories. So before we jump into the Bible, I'm going to try to motivate you to connect with me. Got it? Connect. Let me tell you something. God's already did all he's going to do. He's right here this morning. He's not going to do anymore. So if you're waiting for God to do something for you this morning, you're going to be sitting here a long time. He's done all he's going to do. He sent his son. He died for us. Now, here's you. You've got to come to God this morning. He's not got any more for you. So what I want to do today is see if we can somehow connect us, me, you, all of us with God. Fair enough? See if we can achieve that this morning. But I want to look at the why and what makes us connect. And in your Fisher's Family Report, if you are those who take notes, I have underlined a lot of words today. And if you want to, I want you to see if you could find the key words that we highlight or we emphasize this morning. And then take those home and think about them a little more. Somebody asked me last night, I can't go anywhere, so what are you going to preach on? I said, Bev. Didn't somebody ask me that? Yes. And what did I say? Bev, here it is. Since December the 18th, 1998, this has been my wife's favorite movie of all time. As most of you know, I work most Fridays and Saturdays, and so I'm gone. And every time I would come home, guess what movie was on? You Got Mail. And I never could really understand it. I'd always see bits and pieces of it, because every time I got there, I would see different pieces of the movie. And I just, you know, there's a bazillion love stories. They all end up the same. Guy doesn't want the girl, girl doesn't want the guy. Then they figure it out. They got to live happily ever after. There's a bazillion of those. But for some reason, You Got Mail is a feel-good story for Bev. And so I figured, you know what? I got to find out. There is a reason this story of all stories connects with Bev. I didn't know for a long, long time. So one time she didn't know this, but she has the DVD. I think it's wore out. But so I sat down and watched it. I go, what is it about this movie that she connects to? I found it. We all connect to something in a feel-good story. And it's not a feel-good story to us unless we connect with something. Here it is. Joe to his pen pal, don't you love New York in the fall? It makes me want to buy school supplies. Am I not right? What is mom's favorite thing? Buying school supplies. She cries every year because the kids won't allow her to go with them to buy school supplies. But I found it. She loves buying school supplies, so she connects. I kid you not. She goes to the Dollar General store, and they love her, and she loves them because she loves school supplies. Now, I fulfilled, didn't I? Told you I was going to preach on Beth. But she connected. So there's that red word. I want you to write down, if you're keeping notes here, she connected. And that's going to be a big word for us today, about being connected. That's how we come to a feel-good story. One of the most famous and best, most profitable movies ever made, Toy Story. Now, I like stories. I'm not a big movie guy. But it always amazed me why, once again, certain stories just connect. And then somebody told me, it was on the bottom of Andy's shoe, or Woody's shoe, I believe it is. Andy's the boy, I believe, right? Everybody puts themselves in the little boy's place. Take Andy's name off the bottom of the foot, put your child on there. Guess what you just did? You connected, didn't you? And Disney's no dummy. They know how to connect it better than anybody, right? Now it's what? It's personal. Write that down if you're taking notes. Connection and personal are what are so involved in feel-good stories. And they're just going to keep going. I'm going to give you 5 seconds. This is your last chance to smile, and if you don't do it, I got nothing more for you. Toy Story 33, rumor has it they're coming out this year, next year. All right, that's it. No more. But young and old connected to Toy Story. This movie has made $3.3 billion because what? They made young and old alike connect to a feel-good story. Enough about that. Let's turn to our Bible. But you know, our Bible has tons of feel-good stories. And a lot of times, we almost think of them as cartoons. Every VBS, we typically have a theme, right? I don't know if we've had Noah yet. If not, we probably will, right? But how can you not have a feel-good story of a man that was godly? He pleased the Lord, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 8. And all those animals. You love animals? How could you not want to be Noah? I know Sarah would be with the goats. I know Jessica would be with the dogs. I know Jared would be with the cats. Our family are huge, huge animal lovers. Even in the darkest of times, Noah says there's hope. How is that not a good story? Randy made a great point. I'm glad you reminded me of this, Randy. You know, because we were talking about, man, I wish people would just get it together and just stop causing us so much heartache in this world. Don't they get it, Al? Enough's enough. Eight in the day of Noah was all God could find for that feel-good story. But you know what? It was 8 souls that was willing to serve Noah and the Lord. Not serve Noah, but he was part of the 8, to be in the ark and do what God said to do. Could you be Noah this morning? Would you do what God told you to do? 80 plus years, he worked on an ark. I started a building project, and I 2 or 3 days, I'm kind of wore out. He dedicated his life to doing what God told him to do. Write the word dedicated down on your notes if you're keeping score here this morning. How about the story of Moses? Here's a man that was put in the bulrush and found by Pharaoh's daughter. And he had everything. Was raised as one of the best. He had the best food, the best clothes, the best everything. But once he found out that was all not real, he gave it up. Are you one of those this morning willing to give up something because that's not what God wants you to do? He's a deliverer. Look how long the children of Israel he took to get them through the wilderness. And you know what? I respect this. I'm not a great speaker. I always tell people I'm not going to talk unless I get paid. That's what I get. That's what I do. You know, and I have like a 300 word vocabulary. So I don't have a lot of words. And so when I applied to be a broadcaster, the guy hired me. Goes, man, you don't have a lot of words, but when you do use the words, you use them pretty loud. You're hired. And so I respect Noah. Here he had to communicate with all these people, and he did it through his brother, Aaron. He found a way to get the job done, even though he was not a perfect man. He was not a perfect speaker, but he wanted to get the job done. I ask you this morning, do you want to get the job done? Are there obstacles in our ways? Probably. Find a way to get them done. Moses did, right? How about the story of David and Goliath, one of my all-time favorite stories? What a feel-good story. He was a man after God's own heart. Just a young shepherd boy. Wouldn't you be proud of your daughter or son? Just common old people like us. But they said, listen, I want to do what God wants me to do. Took on a giant. Some people believe he was 8-9 foot tall, maybe. That's a big guy. That's a really big guy. He didn't have no gun. He had a slingshot. Now, do you not think that God was with David the whole time he had this little slingshot? You know he was. But God's sitting there, are you going to obey me? Are you going to do what I do? I'm with you. You have confidence? Write the word confidence down. Do you have confidence that when you are out to get something that looks like a difficult situation, and then sometimes that's with us, right? The obstacle looks pretty big. Do we have the confidence to hit it head on like David? And he took down the giant. Sometimes we have to take down giants in our life, don't we? Sometimes we have those obstacles that we need the heart of David to get through. That's a feel-good story. Guess what? He fulfilled and did it. He did it. Can you imagine him going home to his parents? Hey, Mom and Dad, I just took down a giant. Really? Yeah, I did. One of my all-time favorite heroes in the Bible, Peter. Just a fisherman. Just plain old you and me. I'm not a fisherman. I've went fishing so many times and haven't caught a thing. And he's a fisherman. That's what he did for a living. But he was just a common man picked by Jesus to be a follower. Do you relate to this? We're just common people. But Jesus wants us to be a follower, just like Peter was willing to learn from Jesus. Are you willing to learn this morning, just like Peter? Took some heat for following Jesus. Hey, listen, if you're going to be bold like Peter was, you're going to take some heat. Somebody's not going to like it, the fact we're in here today and teaching Jesus and following his law. Some things that we teach from the Bible, people don't like. They don't want to hear. Peter said, oh, listen, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. Tell me what to do. He wanted to spread the word of Jesus, and that's what we want to do this morning. Listen, we can have a feel-good story if we're just willing to spread the word of Jesus. Read with me. From Peter, to Peter. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what do I do? What do we do? Then Peter said, here's what Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Guess what? We're not the only ones with a perverse generation, right? It's been around. It will be around until the last day. Then those who gladly received his word were what? Baptized. baptized. We preach baptism because why? The Bible teaches baptism, right? And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Then fear came upon every soul and wonders. Now who believe are together and had all things in common and their possessions and good and divided them among all as anyone had need. Wow. The fishermen. Go back to our first verse this morning. What did he have? He just had the word of God. Plain old fisherman. He didn't have to get creative. He just preached to them what? He preached to them Jesus. They wanted to know, and he told them, it's Jesus. That's what gets you to heaven. That's what gets you saved. Peter, just a plain man. Do you find it interesting? All the men that we've talked about this morning, just plain old men. And did they have their faults? Yes, just like you and I. But they were followers of God. So I got to ask you, if you need a feel-good story this morning, how about you, if you're not baptized, be that feel-good story this morning? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Short verse, but so, so powerful this morning. If you're not baptized, why not? Jesus told us to be baptized. You want any shot at going to heaven? Do you want any shot whatsoever going to heaven? What do you got to be? You got to be baptized. Right? How about you starting the story this morning? Maybe we need a good story. Maybe you need a good story. I tell you, no better story for you than being baptized, right? That's a feel-good story. Every time we have a baptism here, I've never seen better smiles on people's face than we see a body baptized into the blood of Christ. People are so happy. We hug, we smile, we cry. What else is there? Jesus answered and said to them, "Most surely I say to you, this is coming from the mouth of Jesus. Unless one is born again," underline red, here it is, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Can't do it. You're not baptized, you're not going to heaven. That's coming from Jesus. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most surely, I say to you, unless one is born of what?" Underline water. Answered the Spirit. The most important verse. He cannot enter in the kingdom of God. So if you're contemplating whatsoever being baptized, this could be a great feel-good story for you this morning. It really could. Now, I want to take a quick pause, and I'm going to come back to my story. I know I ain't supposed to do that, but I'm me, and that's the way it is. How many of you have this maintenance required on your car? All of you do. In case you do. See, I know. Most of you are not watching, are you? And the guys are going to the girls, I know it. You don't watch it. How many of us, when that red light comes on, goes, I'm just going to ignore it. It's a sensor. Every time our light comes, just a sensor. Us to worry about it later. It'll go off. Those sensors, you know, today's cars, they'll go off later, right? I'll worry about it later. And about 3 weeks later, the engine blows up. Have you been there? You ignored the warning signs. You didn't attack it. Put it off. Next thing you know, it's too late. We're baptized. All done. Going to heaven. Warning sign. Guess who's out to get you? I'd love to say, you being baptized today, it's all done. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many times do we hear someone fulfilling the lust of the flesh? And I'm here to tell you, this verse tells you, if you walk in the Spirit, your chances of falling in the flesh are pretty slim. But when we stop walking in the Spirit, our chances increase. Let Satan should take advantage of us. What'd he say? Write that down in your notes. Take advantage of us. He's willing to do that, wants to do it. We are not ignorant of his devices. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're ignorant of his devices, you better stop. And maybe the most important verse. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until when? and a better opportune time. So if he didn't get you the first time, he tries again. Didn't get you the second time, he tries number three. He doesn't get three, he goes to four. He's not going to stop. I ask you again, when the maintenance life warning light comes on in your life, do you ignore it? I'll miss church today. I don't need the Spirit. I'll worry about it later. Or your engine blows up. You fall completely away from God. Happens, doesn't it? I wish a lot of us, I've been blessed to be raised in the church. I have seen adult, young people, and I know you have too, time after time after time after time, be baptized. Where are they at? Where are they at? We would have to add on this church building so many times if we would keep simply those that obey the gospel and were baptized in the Spirit and in truth until the day they died. You know how many buildings, how many churches we'd have to have? Warning sign, warning sign, warning sign. The devil is out to get us. So next time you go, no, I'm just going to go to church on Sunday morning. Well, that's a good thing, right? You should be here. Don't need Sunday night, though. Don't need that Spirit and truth, right? Don't need Wednesday either. Don't need VBS. Don't need gospel meetings. You're going to fight the devil like that? Maybe you can. I'm not judging you. I don't know. I'm just telling you, he's got every trick in the book. He never, I'm telling you right now, write this down, he never leaves us alone. He's already got the world. Guess who he wants? Not all Christians going to heaven. I don't want to put a Debbie Downer on us this morning, but just because you're baptized is not a ticket punch to heaven. It's not. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. And maybe most important verse we'll have tonight, this morning, write this down, Matthew 7:21-23, our scripture read, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. If the Lord said, elders, do what you're supposed to do, and we have services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, gospel meetings, VBS, shouldn't you be here? I think you should. You study your Bible at home. Jared and the communication deacons have put out here on the table, and I'm glad they did, because I'm not very disciplined, and I don't have to be, because Jared calls me every single morning, and I'm glad he does. Did you read your scriptures this morning? What did it say? He don't even ask me now what I read. Now he quizzes me, and I'm glad of that. He drives me crazy, but I'm glad of it, and we discuss that daily scripture. I haven't did that for a long time. I'm ashamed to say it, but I do now. And I read it in my Bible every morning. So if you're not disciplined, grab one of those sheets out there and make yourself very first thing in the morning. I have it on my, it's a good thing for smartphones. It beeps at me every morning. Beep, beep, what do you want? Read your scripture reading. And I do. You know, if we don't go to heaven, mom and dads want to do this. We want to do this. We always want to blame somebody, right? It's a preacher's fault. He's boring. He never got my attention. It's got to be the elder's fault. They just didn't do what... They're just not very good. It's the teacher's fault. They didn't teach me. Our parents. I had no upbringing. It's my parents' fault. That's why I didn't go to heaven. It's my brothers and sisters. It's a tough life. It's terrible out there. Every influence under man has dragged me away from God. It's a tough life. It's not my fault. And you know, our schools are terrible. And they have their faults. Everything does. It's everybody's fault. You have control over your destination to heaven. You. And only you. I have control whether I go to heaven or not. Write that down. Only I or you have control on whether I go to heaven or not. You, not me. Now, do we have obligations as elders? Sure. Does the preacher have an obligation? Listen, when we hire a new preacher, he'll need to do the best he can, but he's not at the end all be all. They never are. They make mistakes. Remember Peter? He failed. Noah, he failed. They're all good men. But as long as they preach this and we follow this, we got shot, right? So, your feel-good story. Now, I don't know where you maybe circled all around in our story this morning about feeling good about your life, about the story, feel-good stories. Are you prepared for your own feel-good story this morning? Yes? Maybe? No? Let's baptize you if you're not baptized. We all fall short of God's glory. No, the shame is not getting it fixed. Now listen, if you want to be baptized today, you don't have. If you're uncomfortable, and some people are, and I get it, that's okay. Tell one of us, tell one of the men, tell Deacon, tell an elder, and we'll baptize you right today. Why wait? We'll do it just as private as you want it or as public as you want it. I don't care, do we? The fact is, you have no shot, none, zero, if you're not baptized this morning of going to heaven. And then you got to run that life. You got to avoid Satan. Read it with me. His Lord said to him, well done. You, me. Tough world out there, right? But I made it. The finish line, I've heard multiple people talk about the race. Well done, good and faithful servants. Have you been faithful over a few things? I will make you ruler over many things. Enter in into the joy of your Lord. Now you tell me, is there a better feel-good story than that? That's all I got. Didn't come from me. I had less than 300 words involved in our lesson this morning. This is all from God. I give you book, chapter, and verse on how to have a feel-good story. Will you come forward as together we stand and sing?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing? Are you washed in the blood?